Titus chapter 2. So I'm fortunate to work with a group of people, at least my more immediate coworkers, with a group of people who are quite motivational. Motivational in the sense that they're hard workers. They're people who are just trying to do their best. Pretty supportive team of one another. And it's encouraging to me because, you know, I'm always feeling like I'm just trying to keep up with some of the younger folks who, you know, have skills that I just don't have, who are just good in ways that I don't feel like I'm very strong at, whereas they might see me as being strong in ways that perhaps they're aspiring to. And I say that in the work context only because I think all of us can relate, but I suspect there's another way that we can relate to that same sort of thought, and that is within the church. I would like to think that we feel similarly about the people that we gather with in the church, to say that we work as part of a high-performing team. We've got people who are good in ways that maybe I don't feel like I'm strong. And hopefully we feel about ourselves that maybe we're strong in ways that other people might be aspiring to. And we look around and we see, man, it's motivational to me to do my best because I see other people doing their best. And I can say that without naming names, that there are several people in this room who you probably don't even realize it, but you're encouraging other people because of just the way that you approach your life. And I don't mean that in a secular sense. I mean that in a spiritual one. And so this evening, what I wanted to briefly talk about is really this idea of being on fire. And I say that very intentionally, but being on fire for the Lord. And the first verse we'll read here comes from Titus chapter 2. Like I'd mentioned previously, hopefully you're there. I'm going to begin on verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." And it's really not until you get to the end of that reading there and you get that word specifically, zealous, that I think begins to make this point that I'm trying to make this evening about being on fire and this idea of having zeal. Now, probably if I were to ask you the question of, you know, name a character who was zealous, I'm guessing many of us would probably say Paul. And you would probably think Paul, but maybe for not the best reason. And you would probably think of Paul, but really maybe what you meant to say was Saul. And you would say, now that was a guy that had zeal. And he had such conviction that he was willing to see people put to death for it. And later on, when he's on the road to Damascus, and eventually he recognizes the Lord calling him and he heeds that call, you still see a man with strong conviction to do what God is asking him to do, regardless of how hard it might be for him to do it. And really, I guess that's probably one of the best examples I can give for us today to demonstrate this idea of just having the strong conviction to do not just the right thing, but really the godly thing. And to do the thing that's talked about here in this verse about being zealous for good deeds. Now, there are other ways in which the Bible talks about this. So, going to Romans in chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." So you might have noticed within that long list of characteristics or these traits that Paul is encouraging within us, that phrase fervent in spirit, and particularly that idea of being fervent, which is in an effect in some way to be on fire or to be boiling. And to have that spirit within us that's just on fire or boiling. And now you might think of that particular phrase, fervent in spirit, and if I asked you, well, can you think of a person in the Bible who demonstrated that sort of attitude, you might recall Apollos in the book of Acts, who was described in that very same way as having being fervent in spirit. And hopefully, if you recall that story, recognize that Apollos was doing the best he had with the information he had, but he didn't have all the information. And that's where he was taken aside to be given that information so that he could continue on in being on fire and teaching the truth. There's also an example, I think, for us to consider this evening really quickly, and this comes from the book of Timothy, in particular 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, and I'll begin in verse 3, it says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." And it probably gets lost on us most times that we read this passage, but what's really underneath the words that Paul uses there when he's encouraging Timothy is he wants Timothy to fan that flame that's within him. He's encouraging Timothy to be on fire. And in fact, we oftentimes talk about this idea that we're not given that spirit of timidity in verse 7, and that's really mostly speaking, if you contrast that with what we're talking about, that is the opposite. This idea of being timid of spirit, not wanting to share the gospel with others, or being having some anxiety over doing that, or maybe just being cautious about who you might approach with the gospel or how you might do that. And what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do is to be on fire and to use the gifts that Paul has imparted upon him through the Holy Spirit, and to do that with power, love, and discipline. And that's really our encouragement this evening for us. I know there are people in this room because I see you. Periodically I even come up to you and I tell you that I appreciate what you're doing. And really my encouragement for us this evening is to all have that sort of spirit within us, to fan that flame that's within us, to be on fire for the Lord, to be zealous for good works, and to be finding ways that we can demonstrate that, not just within this room, not just with one another, but in the world. And to be able to share the message that God's given us, that grace is for all, that we all, unfortunately, are plagued with that problem of sin, but God has provided a way for us to put that away, and that we can all be called children of His, but only because of His Son and the life that He gave on the cross. So our encouragement this evening is that if you haven't already taken the steps to be called the child of God, to be a follower of Christ, to do that this evening, there's no better time than the present. And if you find yourself faltering, or you need that encouragement, you need us to help you fan that flame, we'd ask that you do so as we stand and sing.